We proceed to the last case of the day. Appeal number 12-2039. And Mr. Uller, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation of your name and your client's name. I'm going to say Gaona, but hopefully you'll correct that, versus the United States.
Joshua Euler, and it's Gaona.
Gaona?
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court. My name is Joshua Euler, and I represent Araceli Gaona, the defendant appellant in this case. We are here today because despite agreeing in a plea agreement to make no specific recommendation at sentencing, the government, during the defense's argument for probation before the district court, stated, quote, "I do not believe this woman should be placed on probation." That comment breached the plea agreement.
Hold. Preceding that comment, there was a comment from the counsel. Were you counsel?
I was, Your Honor.
And you said that it was important to note that there was no recommendation for prison, that there are in other cases, but in this case they did.
Correct.
But that isn't what the agreement was.
Well, the agreement in this case...
The agreement is very clear. It says they will not make any recommendation at all. It does not indicate that they think this is a hot idea.
And
nor are they intended, are they supposed to say that?
I think my comments...
I think you left the impression with the court that the government had no objection to probation.
The government interpreted my comments that way, absolutely. And I think the district court did as well. In reviewing the transcript numerous times, I'm of the belief that that was not the sentiment that my clients conveyed.
That's what you meant to say.
It's certainly not what I meant to say, and I don't think it's what my comment, this, the sentiment that my comments...
didn't want to influence the judge by giving him the impression, him, who is it?
It was Judge Randall.
That the government had no objection to probation because they affirmatively did not recommend it.
An agreement to stand silent or not make a specific recommendation.
Yeah. It's not to stand silent. The agreement is to make no specific recommendation, which to me sounds different than to stand silent or make no recommendation.
I think under the letter of the language, Your Honor is probably accurate. In this case, the comment that I made, while maybe not the appropriate comment to make, or maybe led the court and the government into the direction it did, the government certainly was free, based on my comment, to, and in fact did, interject and clarify the plea agreement.
The clarification is the problem. It sounds to me like you really didn't have a meeting of the minds on what you'd agreed upon, and so the government's offer to let your client withdraw from the agreement was appropriate in that there, you had two different minds on what that meant, recommendation meant.
A recommendation, or taking the position that it will not make any specific recommendation, is just that.
That was the judge. It's not making any recommendation.
Correct, including prison or probation.
Well, that's the reason.
Prison is kind of a general recommendation, as is probation. It's kind of a general recommendation. A specific recommendation is 5 years, 30 months, probation, maybe. I don't know.
In this case, there were really two options that the court had. The court could impose prison or the court could impose probation. And it's
what you wanted to accomplish with this is put the burden on the judge to make his or her own decision without any interference from the government.
Correct.
But that also included no implication that they were voluntarily giving this up without discussing this. That is, they could, in their secret heart of hearts, decide the guy ought to spend the rest of his life in jail. But they can't, under the agreement, make any specific recommendations. So all you had to do was say, we're leaving the matter entirely in your hands, Your Honor.
And I think that would have been the appropriate response from the government. The government could have said, Judge, that's not accurate. We promised to make no specific recommendation, including probation. And I think had the government stopped there, it would have been the end of the problem. But the government went a little further than that and said, Judge, I don't believe that this woman should be placed on probation. And that was the comment that violated, or that went against the plea agreement in this case. The only message that the government suggests that its comments conveyed a message that that the court has suggested, which was that a recommendation or a decision not to make a specific recommendation should not be interpreted as an affirmative recommendation that the court not impose prison. And while I understand Your Honor's position with respect to that,
you were essentially arguing the opposite of that, that making no specific recommendation is to make a recommendation of probation or non-imprisonment.
That's the way the government...
So the U.S. Attorney at that point is just countering your interpretation of that agreement.
I think the appropriate correction, if it felt the need to correct itself, would have been to simply say, Judge, that's not an accurate... The original correction that it made, had the government stopped there, I don't believe that we would be here today.
I don't think so. I bet you would.
Well,
there's some indication, too, about... think about it over the weekend or something. I don't know. Say, what are we going to do? Come back in. Then the other two get sentenced to probation.
Correct.
But, hey, that's probably a good possibility.
So well, and that was definitely the government's, I think, primary argument in its brief, was that my client has waived the right to present this argument on appeal. Waiver, of course, is the intentional relinquishment of a known right. And this court or this circuit is riddled with case law.
Judge Tinder just raised that. He said, ask you whether you want to withdraw your plea.
Ms. Gaona did not wish to withdraw her plea. She wished for to be sentenced by a judge untainted by the government's breach.
And by that judge, too, once she had heard what that judge did for a couple of other people preceding her.
Judge, I don't think what happened here
She says, and you say at sentencing, the continued sentencing, we want to go ahead now. We want to do it now.
Correct. And at that point, Judge Randa had taken the position that that Your Honors have sort of taken with respect to my comments that led to the government's comments. The court's position was that the government was justified in making its comments, that it was appropriate for the government to make those comments. So when we appeared for sentencing the following Monday, after Ms. Gaona, the defense, accepted the judge's position in respect to that. And the only option at that point was to either withdraw her plea, accept the government's offer to withdraw her plea, or to proceed with sentencing, the next phase in the process.
If you were really pursuing specific performance, you should have been asking for a different judge.
And that's what the government suggests.
You didn't.
Your client
wanted to be sentenced by that judge on that day.
And I think at that point, it wasn't necessary for the defense to come in again and argue that the government had breached the plea agreement.
I'm afraid that's where you fall on waiver. I'm afraid that's where waiver takes over by
proceeding in that way.
Well, I see my lights up. I'd like to finish these comments on rebuttal. Thank you.
Ms. Hoffman. We've made your best arguments for you, but my goodness, why at sentencing was it said, I don't believe this woman should be placed on probation? That seems like a specific recommendation.
Your Honor, excuse me, Your Honor.
Were you the trial judge?
I was. My name is Gail Hoffman. May it please the court, counsel. I represented the government at the district court level.
Irritated to the point where you had to correct it.
Well, this is the first, everything I said I believe was fine. When it came to that third sentence, I think it's arguably waiver. And what had happened is, over a period of time, I communicated my position to counsel both in writing and orally, and I was at that point just so taken aback by that statement. When I jumped in, I think what I set up into that point was totally appropriate to correct the record. I think at that point that third sentence arguably went too far. So
You noticed immediately you offered to let her out of the plea, so you must have felt
uncomfortable.
You breached the agreement. There was no other reason to let her
out
of the
plea. Well, I was uncomfortable with the record at that point. I felt that I'd strongly objected, and the third sentence perhaps was too strongly an objection. However, my intent at that point in time was to correct the statement that I wasn't recommending prison, because my agreement was to make no specific recommendation at all, and that wasn't
a negative recommendation.
And that wasn't a non-prison recommendation. So in the heat of the moment...
Does your office use a different phraseology when they're going to stand entirely mute? Do they say, no, we'll make no recommendation? Is that a different category? Or?
Well, we typically don't take no position in this particular... Or take no position or agree not to make a specific recommendation. Typically, we are making a recommendation. This was a multi-defendant case. There were 21 defendants, and in this particular case, the judge had read this defendant was one of the last defendants to be sentenced, and the judge was very aware of the facts. And while it is certainly a benefit to the defendant for the government to not take a specific position, I think in multi-defendant cases, where the judge is very familiar with the facts, it's the government's position, I think.
What was the sentence?
Pardon?
What was the sentence?
18 months.
Has the 18 months lapsed?
No, the guideline range was 30 to 37 months.
I say now.
No, she's
still on the bench.
Right. But really, what I think is the issue here is the defendant waived or made a strategic choice to proceed to sentencing and relinquish this argument. What had happened was, we had the discussion about the government's recommendation, and then I had offered the defendant to withdraw her from her plea agreement, and then the defense made the statement on the Friday hearing, and I understand that if Ms. Hoffman wanted to clarify what I was saying, in the process of doing so, she indicated that she objects to the court placing my client on probation. That is a breach of the plea agreement in this case. And my client doesn't want to withdraw her plea. She wants specific performance of the plea agreement. So if, as the Supreme Court has said, you can't necessarily pour the water back into the glass on this, and I don't know what to do with this, and I don't know what to do. And then the judge, I had asked for the court to put this over at that point so counsel could have an opportunity to consider his options. And Mr. Euler said, Judge, I do believe this is something I need a brief amount of time to consult with my client outside the eyes of the court and the government, if we could possibly adjourn the matter for a couple of days. And then the court agreed and said, both parties in the court agreed that it was appropriate to put the sentencing off so counsel could consider his options. At that point in time, it was abundantly clear that counsel knew specific performance was one of his options. The sentencing was reset for Monday afternoon, and this was a Friday. In the interim, so specifically, that adjournment occurred so the defendant could consider her options along with counsel, not because she was limited to withdrawing her plea or proceeding, but to consider the options, and counsel specifically mentioned specific performance and putting the water back in the glass. And so,
didn't the court at some point just say, here's what he really meant,
right?
But I understood him to mean,
right. I mean, the court.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but he seemed to say, "No, here's what he meant to say, or what you were trying to say." I guess.
Right, and the judge had made a comment, and he had said, "I think the government objected to your interpretation of the language not to make a specific sentencing recommendation as a specific recommendation that she not." Receive prison. That's quite a bit different. That's quite a bit different. In other words, you said the government isn't recommending prison, but the government didn't say anything about any recommendation consistent with the plea agreement. But it doesn't mean they're agreeing not to recommend prison. But the judge allowed this to be put over for counsel and client to consider their options, one of which was specific performance. We come back on Monday, prior to the sentencing hearing, which took place at 3, immediately preceding it. The defendant's sister, Maricela, was sentenced, and the judge sentenced her to probation. And so we get to sentencing, and the court says, well, we're here for a continuation of sentencing, and the court, well, the court has stated it's here for continuation of the sentencing, but is the defense going to move to withdraw its plea? No, it's not, Your Honor, the court. So the defense wishes to continue on this case with the sentencing. We do, Your Honor, the court. And Ms. Gaona, you've heard the discussion. Is that your desire to continue with the sentencing? Yes, Your Honor. And then the defendant's argument, in the defendant's sentencing argument, he sought to align his client with her sister, Maricela, who had just received a sentence of probation. He argued that they were similarly situated and uniformity in sentencing required that the same sentence be imposed. So what had happened is they made a strategic decision to proceed to sentencing in front of Judge Randa in the hopes that Araceli would receive the same sentence as her sister, Maricela. He had the opportunity and was well aware of his option of requesting specific performance and recusal, but he chose to move ahead in the hopes that his client would receive the same sentence. And then when she didn't, now he's asking for a do-over. Now he's asking this court, the Court of Appeals, to provide the same remedy that he should have asked the district court to provide. Judge Randa never had an opportunity to recuse himself, nor did the government have an opportunity to join in that request and ask that the defendant be resentenced. The defendant made an intentional strategic choice to proceed to sentencing in front of this specific judge. I would also add along those lines, as shown in the government's brief, that this judge had consistently been sentencing under the guideline range, under the advisory guideline range for the defendants who had been charged in the money laundering count, in count 8. And so he didn't want to pass, the defendant and counsel didn't want to pass up on the opportunity to receive that type of benefit from the judge, from Judge Randa. And so she, along with counsel, knowingly relinquished their right to ask for a recusal. We would be in a totally different posture if they had requested recusal in front of the district court and the district court had denied it. But based, I'm sorry?
You're repeating yourself.
I will move on from this point. With that, I would, I would rest on our submissions. And I would argue, Your Honor, that the defendant has waived this position based upon their affirmative statement that they wanted to proceed to sentencing before the district court judge, and I would respectfully request that this court affirm the defendant's sentence. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Euler, anything else? Up to 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the government confuses Ms. Gaona's decision to proceed to sentencing with Ms. Gaona's strategy at sentence. Those are two separate issues, and it was perfectly reasonable once the parties got to sentencing for her to attempt to align herself with the defendants who had also been placed on probation. That is wholly separate from her decision to proceed with sentencing. And at the point in which she decided to proceed with sentencing, the court had already made it clear that it did not believe that it believed that the government was in the right to make the comments that it made. So the defense made the argument that the government had breached the plea agreement, made the argument as to what it had done, the conduct it had engaged in, the comments it had made that constituted a breach of that plea agreement. That, in our position, we had requested specific performance. That survives waiver. The government's suggestion and argument that we should have, when we appeared again on that Monday, to ask not just for specific performance, but for specific performance before a different judge, is unnecessary. This court held in United States versus Bartlett, citing Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 51, that a litigant preserves contention for review by informing the court of the action the party wishes the court to take and the grounds for that.
Well, that's a different situation. Here, you've had, you know, the cow's out of the barn, and the statement's been made in the presence of that judge, and it's that statement that you say is the breach of the agreement. So you shouldn't proceed with sentencing in front of that judge if that's the harm that you suffer from the breach.
And I think in that respect, the case is sort of factually aligned to Diaz-Jimenez, which I cite in the plea agreement. In that case, all the prosecutor or all the defense attorney did was sort of raise a general objection to the comments of the prosecutor. In this case, the defense, we went beyond that and made not just an objection, but an argument as to how that their conduct violated the plea agreement and as to the remedy that we were looking for, albeit not the exact specific remedy. So with that, Your Honors, I thank you for your time, and I ask that you remand the case for the district court for specific performance and resentencing.
All right. Thank you to both counsel, and thank you to Mr. Euler for accepting the appointment in this case and representing the client in the highest tradition of the law. Thank you.
In addition, I think you did a wonderful job.
Pardon me?
I think you did a wonderful job.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate that.